Well, they would have it. They would
There was an updated link. Hi.
Oh, there's tons of people in the waiting room.
We've been waiting to get on for some time.
Christina. Christina.
There is dirt here.
I'm here, Christina, and Maggie as well.
I've just been waiting 15 minutes to get on, so I don't know if there's still people hung up in the waiting room. Doug,
Yes.
are you late? Go ahead.
So Brittany's out, and Christina is trying to run the meeting,
Oh.
and that's where, I think she's trying to get us connected. So
That's
that's
the
where.
problem. Yep. So, Doug, are you really in the snow or is that just a background?
That was actually a picture of my backyard, rodeo weekend in 2019, I think it was. Remember all
Wow.
the snow we got then?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a, and I was having a snowball fight with the bag lady there. That's my youngest daughter.
Okay. Well, it looks
That
very
was tough.
Glen Tucsonan.
Right.
A tree with the grapefruits on it behind you or something would be more
I thought
appropriate.
that was a fitting picture for this time of year.
It is. We certainly have had our snow up in the mountain. Well, who's, oh, we don't have a quorum. I was going to say we could have the vice chair start. I don't know who that is. The meeting, so we don't waste staff time.
I don't actually remember who it is at this point either. I want to say Fred, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're right.
Yeah, Christina on the other side, she was texting me that she's in a Zoom link with Fred and Chris. So that's kind of weird that we're in one meeting and then they're in a different meeting. So I'm trying to text her on the side.
Okay. I just clicked on the link in the agenda that Brittany sent out earlier this week, I think.
This is the link that I came in on was the one that she sent today, I think, that had the additional materials.
Yeah, I think I tried them both, but that was the last one that I went through, the one we got today.
Carlos, it's Brittany.
Okay.
You got it sorted out?
Yeah, they're going to be popping on in just a few minutes, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, because I saw the other appointment coming through and I was trying to figure out if there was a link to the 331 that you sent on reserving the DCR, but it doesn't show anything in there. So
Yeah, no, that's just me reserving the conference room.
Right, that's what I thought. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So the other three members are going to be popping on to this one.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Carlos, tell us something exciting that's happening.
The rain for the past couple of weeks.
And Fred, we were on the other link, the new link or something. So, Fred, start the recording again. Okay. All right. It is 4:19. And we have a quorum, and I'd like to call the Thursday, February 8th ESAC meeting to order. Going to roll call. Fred Ariza.
Here.
Doug Jennings.
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter.
Here.
Susanna Shippers.
Here.
Ryan Thomas.
Here.
And Chris Yarder present. Okay, let's go quickly. At least we don't have a lot on the list here, so we won't be too late. So for item two, chairman's report, I just want to remind everybody that the annual report is due. And I didn't know if Fred, did you have you guys met once with the engineering, right?
Yes, it was just Mike and myself.
Is there a little blip you could write up for me?
Mike would be better off doing that.
Mike is no longer a member, and I probably should have said that after taking roll call. So he had to step down in January just because of time conflicts.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's a recording. Check and see if there's a recording for it. Otherwise we can wait.
Do you happen to know what the date was?
No.
I don't even know when it was. It was sometime last year, but
I'll look and see if there's anything that he put in. Okay, let's just move on quickly. Anyways, I usually put the annual report together. Margo has helped me. And so what I'd like is if there's something that you think that we did that you can thought was really super important, why don't you email that to Brittany so she could send it to me and I can just double check and make sure I'm covering all the things that we went through the year. I mean, I take lots of notes, but I mean, if there's something that, you know, really stuck with you and you really think should be in the annual report that goes to mayor and council, let me know, okay? All right. Also, I just wanted to tell you quickly, and this just kind of blew me away, but this, I'm beginning my 8th year with ESAC. Whoa.
Goes fast when you're having fun.
I know, I know. And you know what? And it actually has been. So, you know, I haven't regretted my almost 8 years at all. So, but anyhow, just letting you guys know that I won't be around forever. Okay. Moving on to, let's see, item 3, director's report. You're going to give us a bifusion update.
So I'll quickly give you an update on the Los Reales campus, the bifusion building. Right now, we're essentially up to 65% complete in terms of design. So there's just some ongoing modifications in terms of the actual precise location of the building. It's still going to be in the general area, essentially west of the scales, north of the HHW facility. But due to turning radiuses of the vehicles, both entering the front of the building and in the back end of the building, there's some adjustments that we're doing, but essentially is really getting to the point of really being finalized. I would envision that we're probably going to be ready to start construction, I would say, probably the first quarter of the year. And we're still basically still a year out before we can be really in that facility. So it's moving, it's ongoing. We don't see any major issues outside of really the electrical components. We have reviewed that internally, and also Bifusion has reviewed essentially the plans extensively. So I think we got a good game plan essentially moving forward. So just want to give you an update on that. I don't know if there's questions or related to that.
Anyone?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I may have missed it. In the maps, I don't know what got me. In the maps that you sent, where exactly is the bifusion plant going to be located?
In what plants are you referring to? Is it that we sent them in the packet? Or
yeah, there were two plants. One looks like this. Okay,
so it's hard to show them in that image because essentially that's just a blurb in terms of space allocation. So essentially, if you were to look at that image, it's pretty much on the northern part of that hash area, kind of in the middle of the page.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually in this part of the area. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, pretty much. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. So it's not in the what were you calling the campus development area, which was also up over here.
Over there, no, it isn't. No, it's right next to essentially the dash area that you pointed out earlier. Yes.
Okay.
Carlos, my question isn't about the location, but today we were talking about this at work. Is it true that there's a storage issue with the plastics that are being dropped off now? Is that being limited as a result of a lack of storage?
So it's not being limited. So the way it's happening, we have run into, essentially, we're getting a lot more participation than we had anticipated. Mm-hmm. And that's a good problem to have. So what is happening is we are essentially storing some of the plastic, bale plastics, at Freedman Recycling Facility. And we're storing there up to 100 tons. Anything above 100 tons, we're essentially having to move that and store that at Los Reales Landfill. Okay. And again, storage, not landfilling it, we're storing it. Okay.
Yes.
So the capacity we're running to is there's only one bifusion facility in California. The bifusion is processing not only on plastics, but other plastics from other communities. So they're having to schedule us in roughly a truckload, essentially a month of those plastics. So, but we're generating essentially more than a truckload a month. And that has been basically, that material has been being put in storage for the time being. So one of the things that we're working, that Christine is working on is working with the Hefty Renew program to see if there's any possibility for us to begin to funnel that plastic to, again, to the Hefty Rentals program so it can be reused under their program. So we still are barely working out those details, barely started a discussion about a couple of weeks ago. And really the intent is if we don't want to continue to store much plastic than what we can handle, but we want to make sure that we find a beneficial use out of that. We certainly don't want for the public to start thinking that once we take it to Los Reales, we're going to bury that and we're going to landfill that. And that's what our intent is, make sure that we short circuit that operation and we send all the plastics either to Bifusion or to have to renew for it to be reused.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Chris, I think you were muted if you were letting me go to the next one.
Sorry. I was afraid my dogs were going to start barking. let's go to update for the Los Reales campus, the planned area development plan. So that's this.
Those are the images. Those are the maps. So Christina, if you don't mind showing them on the screen, maybe the existing plan, if we can share that. So they're not drastically different in terms of really what they look like, but there's some slight changes to it. So that's essentially the existing layout that we have in the facility. If you can scroll up or scroll down a little bit so we can look at the descriptions of the land uses. Okay, there you go. So we're not significantly changing what we consider the respective land uses. So we still, the hashed area, that's gonna be the waste footprint. But one of the things that we're trying to do is expand essentially the waste footprint to the right or to the east. So that's a change. So when you see that big blur, the yellow area, we're essentially going to extend, I'm not saying halfway through that, but a good extension of that, where we're going to extend that hashed area and transform that into a additional waste sales area. We're still going to keep essentially that yellow area around that either for stormwater purposes, but we're essentially calling that more of an open space configuration. We still have essentially some of the space down below at the green area still identified as green areas. We're adding more verbiage to that in terms of what that what uses can be put in there. The triangular shape area in the bottom, it was just described as a reserve district. We're trying to emphasize, we're trying to add more clarity to that in terms of what potential uses we may use in that area. On the northern part, kind of the reddish area, we were calling that before as Community Resource Center District. It still calls out for an education center, the MRF area. So we're still going to be looking at that, but just again, adding more definitions to that. And to the right of that red area, this is where the city acquired additional property. And that's where we essentially are going to be expanding the linear pathway, the open space, the additional area for the MRF, and north of the road that is already being constructed. That's what we are going to call that additional economic development in the future. Okay, so that's basically what the layout looks like today in terms of the various land uses. Not a whole lot of description, and the intent of that is really to make sure that we add some broad land use, but at the same time, really that provide us more flexibility in terms of how we use that, but there's still also with some clarity in terms of the limitations of what that land use is all about. So that was developed, I would say about 10 years ago, And now with all the changes that we are proposing in terms of not only the renaming of the campus, the use of the campus, the other expanding essentially the waste footprint, making some adjustments to that, then it really calls really for us to amend our plan area development. And that's what we're in the process of doing that. So Christina, if you don't mind sharing the other image. So then when you look at the campus itself, you look at it and when you compare both of them, unfortunately we can't show both of them, but essentially they're almost identical per se, but we're just essentially are adding additional essentially space really for waste facility or waste reclamation district, where it really allows us really to expand the waste footprint. We're really identifying really the open space or recreational area around the facility. That's where you see the green boundary all the way around that, essentially to the right or to the east, that we're creating essentially that 500-foot buffer. We're also identifying within that compound those trails that will be essentially going around the facility, identifying just kind of the triangular shape, the commerce district in terms of what other companies can they move in and set up operation at Dos Reales. So you see that in the lower left-hand corner, northwest corner. So kind of top left-hand side of the page, you'll see that a little bit in the middle of the page, and you'll see that on the top right of the page. And so those are the areas that we're designating for other entities to come in and really set up operations, some sort of waste handling operations within the campus. So again, we're just very broad and not something very, very specific, but still gives us the guidelines in terms of how we plan to use essentially, or how we propose to use the land around the landfill and within the landfill. And so if it's approved, our plan area development will be amended. And then it's ultimately approved by the mayor and council. And then once it's approved, we'll essentially bring that plan to the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. And we would have to amend our facility plan that would reflect all those changes. So when I mean a facility plan, that means if we're extending the waste footprint, we're going to be asking ADEQ to give us the permit to expand those cells. And all the essentially public process that goes along, not only with the plan area development, but with the facility plan. So so that's what's on the works. Right now, we're just finalizing really some traffic counts related to the intersection of Los Reales and Craycroft. That's just kind of in the final stages. We're going to be assembled. The next steps next one is really to schedule a few public hearings related to the proposed amendment, and then ultimately bring it to the council for direction from the authority, from the solid waste perspective and utility perspective. Then later on, we'll make whatever modifications, amendments we need to make based on your input, based on the public's input, based on the mayor and council's input, and then we'll come back to them and create a formal submittal to the planning commission. And therefore trying to get this plan area amended, I would say probably at the latest, probably this fall, and really be in a position to start really looking at our updating our facility plan the beginning of the year. So just want to give you a very broad overview in terms of the land use planning that is going on at the landfill.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Let's see. I guess the first one is the planning center who did the first plan, the first pad in 2005, 2006. At least that's the date on the bottom of that paper. Are they the ones working on this one as well?
Yes, ma'am, they are. Yes.
They're continuing with that. Okay. and all the houses that were shown on the first, in that first triangle where you've expanded out to Interstate 10, those have all been purchased? All that land's been purchased already?
That is correct. And that land has been purchased. I would say the additional mobile homes, manufactured homes were purchased in 2005, 2006. So all that has been essentially been taken care of. Yes.
And removed from the, area. Removed from the
side. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so I'm curious as to why you then put bifusion in the middle of the waste reclamation district, as opposed to putting it into the sustainability campus commerce areas.
So the only reason we chose to do that is timing. Obviously, we needed, this is really, we're barely starting the process, and we would have to really gone through a lot of zoning and amendments really to get us a permit really to move forward in essentially in setting them up in those areas. That was one of the reasons for it. The other reasons for that is we don't have that many utilities that will be serving that building, and really to cut back on cost and timing. That's what we looked at, placing them very close to our scale house, where you see essentially that arrow that kind of like you see the two arrows coming uh-huh. down.
Yeah,
that's essentially roughly the location of where they're going to be going a little bit to the west. The other reason for it is at this point in time we have a 5-year agreement. We don't have no assurances that they will continue to move to be here longer than the 5-year period. Hopefully they will, but I'm not sure if it's under the same condition or the same location. So I think we need to provide the flexibility, not only on a part, but also give them the flexibility for them to do whatever they need to do in the future. And so if that investment were to be made, we want to make sure that from the ES fund, we want to make sure that that building or that asset is something that we can use in the future. So we have essentially a good use out of that for either our HHW program or just to store our equipment or supplies very close to the scale house. So that was kind of what was kind of our method to the madness on placing that at that location.
Okay, that makes sense, especially the cost of extending utilities is not trivial. So you would want it to be as close as possible to where they already exist and not have to string new lines and new pipes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And the nursery that's going right now is in that area that's open space recreation district, or where's the nursery for the million trees?
So that's correct. So will you see those two, that line, that Craycroft line that comes in and then it goes into those two arrows right before it shifts to the left, that area where you start seeing the green space, that's where the nursery is located today. So it's within essentially that area.
Okay. Oh, the green area, not where the line goes down and then down to the two areas, but before that first angle turn, there's right. a slightly green area. Then it would go into the near Gardenstone Drive, I guess.
That's correct. Called. That's exactly
right. Okay, it's over there, not mm-hmm. over the other side. Okay, got right. it.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
I guess one other that I can think of is before there was a big big discussion made of the arroyo that goes through on that southern area through its open space recreation district. This map doesn't show it very well, but is that still, I guess if we look far to the left under the word sustainability conference, you can sort of see in the light topography what looks like an arroyo, and if you trace it, it would kind of go right through that line between the yellow and the green at the bottom. Is that still attention being paid to that?
Yes, it's still that wash is being protected, and that's what we still follow essentially that green area. That's what the wash, the delineation of the wash and that arroyo, right? So to your point, yeah, that's still being protected. It still needs to be maintained intact. And that's what we're working around that. That's why that triangular shape is not bigger than what it is. It's, and also the same thing on in terms of really the waste footprint doesn't encroach onto that wash. So that's still being maintained. It's still being preserved. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on then. Item four for the financial monthly reports. And I see Maggie. She's on there somewhere. Hi.
That's right. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Christina, can you allow me to share my screen? It says right now only the host can share.
Okay. You should be good to go, Maggie.
Thank you. I think it's working. Let's see. Okay. Can you see the screen now?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Okay. So the first report, because our meeting is early in February, when I did this report last week, I was at the end of January, so we don't really have all of January's information in our workday system as of yet, or as of the time that I did the report. Our monthly financial system closes on the 5th of the subsequent month, so it's not really reflective of a full 7 months of activity, more like 6 months or six and a bit. Definitely will have captured the payroll for 7 months. So when we look at the actual so far, this detail here is simply for the ES fund. And we have $32.2 million expended in total. And I have a forecast going of $71 million for this year. There are some things that are likely to change. And one of those could be how we do with capital improvements for the year. We've only expended $1.9 million so far. We had planned to do about $10.9 million amongst all the capital projects that are posting to this fund. That is likely to be lower than we anticipated. So that will give us some savings, but that's something that we will know as the time goes by and we'll be able to see as we go through the months as the projection changes. So the revised budget for fiscal year 2024 was $67.1 million for the expenditures. And I have $71.3 million forecast right now. So that is over budget. And one of the biggest areas where we had a big deficit in the way our budget was built for fiscal year 24, and I believe I mentioned this before, is we did not have a budget for vehicles, large capital vehicles, of which we received several of them this year, quite a few out at Los Reales and several vehicles for the collections division, and we are expecting to receive the electric trash truck this year as well. So that has not yet posted, but that will make a dent, and that's the type of overage that we'll see. Going down to the next line, we have some EPA grants with pretty minimal activity right now. Both of those grants are coming to an end on June 30th, and there may be a renewal for one of them, but that is very smaller activities. And then code enforcement, we have just over $1 million expended so far as of the 30th of January. And I am forecasting at this point that we will be at budget. Same with graffiti abatement, we'll be close to budget, slightly under, I think. If you're all ready, I can move on to the detail for 502 in specific with the expenditures and revenues.
Were there any questions on that first sheet? Anyone? Okay, we'll move on then.
Okay. So this is our detailed view of Fund 502. Here's the $71.3 million that I was forecasting for fiscal year to our expenditures through June 30th. And again, as I said, that could change. And here are our projected revenues for the fund, $64.6 million in collections. So we do at this point estimate again that we will go into the fund balance for the fiscal year, just like we did in fiscal year 23. We'll do that for fiscal year 24 as well. And we don't have, there's no issues with collections. We're up to date with our Navaline collections in the system. So I think that this is a pretty good estimate for where we're going to be at. Again, I think the biggest changes will be in the expenditures, but it'll change month to month, and I'll keep it updated and update you as we discuss them each month. Any questions here? One item I wanted to talk about was the fiscal year 25 budget. We are in the preliminary phases of developing that request for the city manager. I'm working closely with Director De La Torre on that. And I know we had discussed in previous meetings about reviving or convening the finance subcommittee. And I wondered, would you like to do that and review the budget development as it stands now? Or would you in that meeting, or would you like me to bring something to the next meeting?
I'm not really sure at this point, because we did lose Mike, and he was on that committee. What do you think, Margo? We need someone else.
And if there are people that are interested, I mean, Ryan, you have a knowledge in this area. Is that something you'd be willing to work on with Chris?
Sure, I can jump on that subcommittee.
So Ryan could be the new Mike.
Thank you.
Oh, but we like your name as Ryan, so. Don't worry.
Maybe some of the others. Doug, you're new on the group. Are you interested in delving into the finances and looking at the rates and stuff?
Not at this point specifically. I'm going to work with Chris on the report and just kind of get into more of the recycling and the bifusion, I think. Just stay on the waste diversion
side. Okay.
Side of that.
Okay. And then remember, I don't have a finance background, so I'm just a biologist. Well,
we can ask questions. That's what we do. I don't know, Fred or Susanna or anyone else. The question, I'm sorry, I was muted before, Maggie, was to ask if the new, weren't there supposed to be new rates that went into place in January?
And they did. Yes, the second half of the rate increase that was approved by Mayor and Council last year, but they asked for us to implement only the first half, and then that's right, they went into, and I have taken that into account, and again, as I see more trends, that will help solidify my forecast as we get through the year.
Okay, thanks
that's
for that.
Too bad. I was hoping that was a new source of money that was going to come along and solve the problem.
Definitely
not enough to offset it. Well,
yeah, we really are, as we've developed the budget, and that's something we can go over when we look at the FY25 budget, but responding to sort of inflationary pressures, the costs of things, the inputs are going up so much, and the cost of capital equipment, all of those things, the cost of the staffing, overtime, things like that are really, they are taking a bite.
And the pressure, for instance, I mean, we know from talking with Pat when he was here that the pressure to go to the electric truck, which is twice as much as the other ones. I mean, you know, that I think we have to talk, you know, bring that to people's attention, that these requests for what are important contributions to the environment as a whole have a cost, which is much higher than what we've been doing before. And so this needs to be pointed out that we're going to have to pay for our, I don't know, what do we call it? For our principles, I guess it is.
So are you talking about the all electric truck? Because they
purchased
the hybrids, which might be a good, but we might be getting off topic.
Well, Maggie said there was an electric truck on its way. So
yeah, they've got
Carlos has his hand raised. He may have something to add on this topic.
Okay, I see it. Thank you.
Okay.
Carlos?
Sure. Thank you. Maybe as a point of suggestion, as Maggie was alluded to, in terms of really maybe this time it may not be the right time, really set up essentially a separate subcommittee. So maybe really just to, there's a lot of new members that maybe are not really familiar with the entirety of the budget. So my suggestion would be is maybe at the next meeting, she can provide you pretty much an overview of really where the budget is at right now and really probably not as detailed as what you guys were used to before, but at least have an understanding in terms of really what the current budget looks like today, what the proposed budget looks like, what are basically some of the price increases that we're seeing, keen on those specific areas, and really look at what the effects, the positive effects have been for the rate increase, but really what are some of those key components that really have really limited the capacity of that rate increases and have been taken away by some additional costs we're facing moving forward. So obviously fleet is one of them. Some of the charges that essentially for maintenance, for equipment, landfill equipment, and even some of the internal services funds that we need to pay for have gone up that have really created an offset to the rate increases that have been just recently adopted. So if we thought we were going to be above water with those increases, I think that we're basically at the same level as we were before even the rate increases. We're either at water level or below water level. So, and it's not as drastic as it was before, but still it's something that needs to be discussed, needs to be looked at as we move down the road. So my suggestion is really to have maybe Maggie present to you a budget presentation in terms of where it stands. It's still going to be a moving target on that. What we're basically being told, the city is going to be looking at a shortfall due to the flat sales tax imposed by the state. A shortfall anywhere between $30 to $50 million this fiscal year coming up. So those are some of the things that we as a city are going to have to look at, on how do we balance essentially that budget and how do we make it work moving forward.
Thank you.
I can prepare, if it sounds good for the next meeting, I can prepare a sort of high level summary, like the reports that we look at together of the current year activity, just of the request, the fiscal year 25 request, where it stands. And then we can look at it at a summary level. And then if there's some sort of drill down questions you have, I can get back to the committee afterwards on that.
Okay.
That'd be a good starting point if you're all in agreement with that.
And then everybody can hear it.
Yeah, I was going to say it'll be a good educational tool to think about, to learn really how, all the detail and the depth that the city has to put into the budget. It's really a major work.
Sure. That's true.
Yeah, hang in there.
I know it sounds boring as everything, but believe me, it's really important.
It's important. Not to me, luckily.
Good.
Those types of things aren't boring at all.
Okay. Well, shall we let you go on to the next? Do we have more pages to look at, or did we?
I believe we've gone through both reports that we generally look at. So I'm finished with my part.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to item five, the subcommittee reports. We just met yesterday. Trevor, do you have anything to add or?
I can read out a quick summary of the things we talked about.
Okay, and also, you know, I think this would also be a good time to say a little more about the Hefty program too, because we discussed that yesterday and that might help people.
Yeah, I can definitely do that wherever that is in my notes. Okay. I'll just start with a quick high level summary and then I'll spend more time on Hefty when I get there. So we got some updates on code enforcement, year end numbers, almost 5,800 cases for the year, about 620 of which were referred to other departments. The community service officers, who are the folks that were brought in to help provide a little bit more of a pipeline to full inspectors, doing well, hired three, one had to leave for some reasons, so we do have one vacancy there, and we currently have
13.
11 inspectors, 13 total.
Total, yeah.
Looking to do some hiring there, but overall doing well. Code enforcement inspectors, so we have the community service officers who were brought in to help provide a pipeline to the code enforcement inspectors. Those code enforcement inspectors require 3 years of some type of inspection experience, which is kind of hard to get. We're also talking to HR to sort of figure out how we can sort of work with some of those requirements to make it a little bit easier to hire those inspectors. On our MRF report, it was noted that we had an audit yesterday. It looked cleaner than our last one, but we'll have to see. The material did look wet, and generally speaking, it seems like that just adds weight, doesn't really lend to contamination. We had quite a bit of a conversation around glass and what that looks like. At present, we're not planning to put it back into the blue bin. And Strategic Materials, who operates the glass recycling up in Phoenix and also comes and picks up glass from the Tucson program, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but is working to reorganize and is still operational. And then we talked a little bit about Food Cycle at Home. That program is going well. There are, I think, 8 sites. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong there.
Let's see, where did I write that?
Sounds right.
Okay. There are at least 6 that have been collecting regularly and then looking at 1 or 2 additional sites. It looks like the total collected since the beginning of January, the total amount of diverted food waste is at right around 2,600 pounds. The things are going well there. There will also be a new site associated with Tucson Clean and Beautiful's office. There will be the Valentine's Day tour, which we've all gotten some information on for the MRF, the landfill, and the Los Reales Sustainability Campus more broadly. And then hard to recycle plastics. Here it is. It was in the next page.
There's Hefty, huh?
Yeah. As noted at the beginning of this meeting, there is a challenge with bifusion. We're collecting a lot more hard to recycle plastics than bifusion can handle in their California facility. We have about 100 bales that are waiting to be processed. So the Hefty Renew program, which Christina sent us some information on last semester, is a direction that we're looking. They currently are operating in 7 states, and this is something that we'll be moving forward with in the next month or two, I think. But they have sort of orange sort of kitchen trash bags looking that will be going on sale in Walmart and Kroger stores. It'll be the same exact materials that we can recycle through bifusion, with one exception. We are going to also be able to recycle styrofoam through the Hefty program, which we can't currently do through bifusion. So that is exciting. But Hefty partners with Dow Chemical to sort of get a broader range of ways in which these diverted plastics can be reused, recycled. Promotion will start soon. The way the program will work is you'll either purchase these bags from a grocery store, or there will be some that City of Tucson will be giving out at ward offices. You'll fill up your bag at home, and then you'll drop it off in the same place that you drop off for BioFusion currently, so at a few of those ward offices and other locations. And then Hefty will take them to wherever they do their processing, and those will get recycled or upcycled. It will be a very heavy focus on residential, so it won't be a commercial program, but more residentially oriented. Anything I missed there on Hefty program? Okay. Good.
Great notes.
Good. Yeah, it is good news, huh?
Wow. I just had to find them.
Nice work.
And then we talked a little bit about collections and their numbers. Quite a few graffiti cleanups last year. I think over 30,000. That sounds a little high. Maybe it was 3,000. Nonetheless, quite a few tree trimming and alley cleanups. Quite a few homeless camp cleanups. In terms of staffing, collections is down by 10 equipment operators. They're working on sort of filling those, and they're also starting to offer a program, get temporary helpers who come in, CDL licenses. So they're working with Pima Community College to take classes at their own pace during work hours online, and then, getting them in, getting practice, and sort of providing more of a pipeline for, getting operators in place a little bit more quickly. Equipment updates, as Maggie noted, lots of things have been ordered. I have a whole lot of notes here that we don't need to go through, but, basically a whole lot of, large vehicles that will be coming in between, I think, March, through May, and then that electric vehicle towards the end of the year. And then landfill operations, overall things are going well. Green waste diversion efforts, still piloting, but they're really ramping things up and trying to divert as much green waste from the entrance as possible, and then separating things out and sort of storing things to do a quarterly, on an annual basis, a quarterly grinding in order to use that green waste in the compost facility, as well as on the slopes for the landfill when there's too much to be actually incorporated in the compost. All of that, of course, Pat's position has been posted. And then final update on compost. We're building one windrow a week from Zudu and Food Cycle material. Have a large pile that's been tested and ready to be screened, and we're donating quite a bit of that material to community gardens at present. And that's it.
And that was a lot. So, thank you. All right, well, I think we're moving along really well here. Unless there's any questions for EGSD, or yeah, okay. Let's move on to item six for future agenda items. I just realized that we haven't had elections for this year, so we probably should put that on for the next meeting.
Yeah, no, I normally have it on for the February meeting.
Right, I know. We're just because we didn't have January, we...
Oh, yeah, it is February.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's what happened. So let's just put that on for next week. And if anybody wants to jump in... You've got
going to have the budget discussion, I guess, next week or next month.
Yeah.
And that's will take quite a bit of time to really discuss the categories and the interrelationships of those things. So
okay, so are we just going to keep it finance then for
I think quite a bit
finance meeting? Okay,
barring any great disasters, I mean, I guess
unless something
landfills cells is part of this new pad work. Looking forward to some new cells that you kind of run out of where the cells are now, or what was the impetus for this change?
So it really adds more areas where we can build additional cells. Yeah. So they're delineating as is on the current pad to the west and to the south. We don't think that there's enough space on the west really to adequately build a cell, but we do think that it's on the south. I think it still remains in place. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to look at going to the east, probably not as high as what we currently have, the levels we have out there, but at least maybe halfway in between. So I think we got some additional room of capacity that we can certainly plan for as part of the PAD amendment.
And isn't that the need for new cells tied to the fact that the per capita waste disposal is going up as opposed to down?
That's correct. So the new cells, we identified essentially the areas that we're going to be landfilling, which in the future, once we get ready to do that, those cells would have to be developed, would have to be built. So ultimately what we're doing is expanding that potential footprint to the east, eliminating that waste potential or cell potential development to the west, and keeping what's on outline in the south.
So that's part of the permit requirement. So you're really, this is really a long range planning effort. There might be some need to talk a little bit more, Chris, about what is the kind of long range planning? I mean, looking out 10, 15, 20 years when you see this increased, we just haven't been as successful at waste diversion as we would like. And so the impact is going to be expanding the landfill and what that means in terms of this planning and the permits and so forth. So some discussion of the permitting is, I think, probably appropriate as well, because it's not trivial.
So would we have time for a little of that information next week, or should we just keep it?
I think you could start on it and, you know, give the big picture maybe, and then start moving into the next. I mean, it's part of that zero waste discussion as well, which, you know,
Carlos, would you be able to just kind of give us a little information next time, or?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. About your thinking and, you know, what brought you to doing this point. We also have had no update on the gas. What's happening? Landfill gas.
Oh, that's right. The landfill gas. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And it's still flaring, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you want me to put some of these items on waste diversion do we want to put the gas synergy item and the pad item on waste diversion?
We could do that.
We could.
And then have the budget items on full ESAC, Carlos?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That would work. And then there would be a report for everybody. Okay. I just want to mention, you know, the environmental engineering subcommittee now is just down to Fred. And so if there's anybody that's interested.
So since we have moved Frank Bonilla's over to do a report on the waste diversion meeting. So he is providing some of those environmental reports and updates on those at those meetings, just because E&E was not having a regular meeting.
Okay.
So since there hasn't been a car, I don't, this might be a thought, since there hasn't been a lot of constant capital oversight on projects like there used to be, maybe we can temporarily put that subcommittee on hold, and you would get those mini updates from Frank during the waste diversion, like he has been attending.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that. Also, I get out of purgatory in May, so if you guys want me back, I can be reappointed in May. I will have done my year.
So just a thought, for the time being, or that we can talk about that later, but I did move Frank over, he attended for another reason, but I just have kept him on the waste diversion agenda.
I think
okay,
it worked well.
That's fine, and he does excellent reports, so
yeah,
okay, well. so that can be brought to full ESAC during the subcommittee report. Okay, because we're down to I don't know, this isn't a future agenda item, but I just wanted to tell you that we're down to six, and I sent emails out to the city manager, the mayor, ward 1, 4, and 5. So, you know, and you don't have to live in the ward. So if somebody's really interested in that, you know, all you would have to do is, you know, talk to the council person and see if you want to be on ESAC. So everybody brings it up at your next happy hour, all your friends, okay?
Talk trash.
Okay. All right. Let's move
after
on.
After getting trashed?
Yeah. Huh?
After getting trashed?
No. Okay. Not that kind of trash.
Okay.
Let's see your arm, Chris.
Huh?
See your arm.
Oh, well, I just got my cast off, and it looks like a shriveled up old lady's hand. With a wrist that still hurts, it's still swollen and stuff, but it's healed up enough to now I'll do physical therapy and hopefully get my right arm back. So it's a good feeling. I'm still not writing notes very well, so, and I still can't sign my name very well, so I'm going to have to work on that. But 6 weeks of no right hand was really hard. Okay, so let's adjourn. And where are we? What time is it? 5:14. So thank you, everybody.
Good job.
And wait, Brittany, should they send their corrections or their interest in the annual report to you first before I get it?
They can send it to both of us.
Okay.
I think that would probably be the best practice. This way, if you see it, you can grab it. Or
okay. And Fred, you didn't that I didn't have bold areas and stuff. So if you want to look at the old one, how it could be improved.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first part of that.
Oh, you'd mentioned that it was hard to read the annual report, and you would have liked to have bold subtopics.
That's correct.
Okay.
Send it to him as an editor, but we should see it next month, shouldn't we? To
I'll start working on it. I have a million other meetings, but I'll keep going. So now I can at least type. All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you.
Have a good one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
5:10.